Translation. The three sons of Shivan and the same, namely Chaitanya Das, Ram Das and Karnapura, were all heroic devotees of Lord Chaitanya. In response, please. The three sons of Shivananda Sen, named Chaitanya Das, Ram Das, and Karnapura, were all heroic devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Das, the eldest son of Shivananda Sen, wrote a commentary on Krishna Karanamrita, which was later translated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his paper Sajjana Toshini. According to expert opinion, Chaitanya Das was the author of the book Chaitanya Charita, which was written in Sanskrit. The author was not Kavi Karnapura, as generally supposed. This is the opinion of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Sri Ramdas was the second son of Shivananda Sen. It is stated in the Gaura Ganadesha Deepika 145 that two experienced servants of Lord Krishna named Shuka and Daksha in Krishna Lila became the elder brothers of Karnapur, namely Chaitanya Das and Ramdas. Karnapura, the third son, who was also known as Paramananda Das or Puri Das, was initiated by Srinath Pandit, who was a disciple of Advaita Prabhu. Karnapura wrote many books that are important in Vaishnava literature, such as Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Alankar Kaustubha, Gaura Ganadesha Deepika, and the great epic Chaitanya Trandadaya Nataka. He was born in the year Shakabda 1448. He continually wrote books for 10 years, from 1488 until 1498. Om Aganti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Rishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So here we're talking about the desire tree of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's in the previous chapter. And it says the Supreme Lord Chaitanya is both the trunk of the tree and the branches as well. So in that chapter he was specifically stating that this is figurative speech, when we want to explain something in a way people can practically understand, we use this type of language. Otherwise it may be difficult for them to understand something which is a little bit too esoteric. So it's described as a tree, in other words, and the different branches. And Lord Chaitanya is making the point all the way through the previous chapter that he has many fruits, and these fruits are meant for distributing. He tasted the fruits himself, but now he doesn't feel satisfied. And he wants to see that these fruits are distributed. And he's beseeching everybody who's listening, you know, give me a hand. So this is Lord Chaitanya's mood, Mahavadanyaya. He's the most munificent incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not an incarnation, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, actually. And so he's many times in this verse he's saying that, you know, asking the devotees to give this fruit of devotional service to others. And this is something which hasn't been available before in any other incarnation of the Lord. It's pure love of God, prema bhakti, in separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is something very, very special. And in this particular chapter, in the previous chapter, he's also saying how this knowledge is being coming down in disciplic succession. First of all, the Lord went to Navadvip Mayapur, and he started the movement there. And then from Mayapur, he went to Jagannath Puri. And then from Jagannath Puri, he went to Vrindavan. And during that foray between those three places, he started to fructify. Some fruit started to fructify. I think first fruit was Madhavendra Puri. He's the first one in our line to actually exhibit these symptoms of this separation from the Lord in in prema bhakti. Separation of the Lord, pure devotional service in separation. And then his disciple was Isvara Puri, who also got that mercy by serving Madhavendra Puri very nicely. There's a nice story there, how another devotee was serving Madhavendra Puri. Does anybody remember his name? And he didn't do it very well. Yes. He didn't understand the philosophy very nicely, and he was seeing his spiritual master exhibiting some unusual symptoms from his point of view. That, you know, he'd spent all his life, you know, fixing himself in devotional service, study of the Shastras, service to the Lord and the devotees, and now he thought he'd lost it, to put it in a Western term. In other words, he was thinking, why is he acting like this now? Now he's under pressure, he's actually in material consciousness. And so he started to preach to his spiritual master, you know, this is not befitting a person who's in your situation. You should be, you know, showing detachment, freedom from any sentiments. And Madhavendra Puri was completely disgusted with him. He thought, you know, I've raised this disciple, he doesn't understand anything. And so he did, you know, that was probably the end of the relationship, at least for some time. But Isvara Puri understood it very nicely, and he served his spiritual master with great attention, bodily needs and everything. And by his mood, by understanding, it wasn't just that he served him, you know, he may have also given him personal service to some degree. But it was his mood in serving the Lord that he understood what the Lord wanted. He understood what the Lord was preaching and how to carry it on. And so he got the blessings of the same symptoms as Madhavendra Puri. He came to the highest platform of pure devotional service. Is there any similarity to that in modern times? Getting the mercy. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had many qualified disciples, and they did so much service, credit due. But when it came to the crunch, they didn't quite have the understanding that Prabhupada had. And as a result of not understanding properly, they started to fight like anything, of more insignificant things. They lost the plot. And they started, you know, this is the nature of when we don't follow the instructions of the spiritual master. What's it say in the eighth verse of the Guru Vastakam? He says, don't expect any good results. You know, and this is what I'm. The movement completely collapsed. The preaching stopped, and they just started fighting. They didn't even notice they were fighting so much. But Prabhupada, because he gained the mood of his spiritual master, then he was thinking, wait a minute, this is terrible. And he realized that he would have to start the movement completely alone. He beseeched his godbrothers to try and help him, but it was too late. So this is where maybe I've jumped the gun a little bit. I'll just finish off what I was saying about this, how it's coming down, the disciplic succession. It says that, we'll come back to this little point here in a few minutes. And so then we said that there was Ishwarapuri, then Lord Chaitanya from Ishwarapuri. And then he said from Lord Chaitanya, there was 9 sannyasis. And the main sannyasi was Paramanandapuri. And he was like the central one, and the others were all circled around him. And they're supporting the whole movement by their preaching. But the tree grew, and at the top it split in two. So it must have been, is that a banyan tree, what does that? So most trees, they start at the bottom, don't they? They start splitting out and going up. Have you noticed? And then, you know, they're split into... But this one, it says at the top of the tree, it split into two. It says, and then they split into many... And this is at the top, so the rest of the branches must have been lower than the top. That's a banyan tree, isn't it? It grows down, roots itself, then it grows up again, down, roots itself. Is that right? Down, roots. And it's like it goes for miles. So this is Lord Chaitanya's tree. It's not an ordinary tree. And what are these two branches at the top? They're Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. And so that's the way. And from that tree there were many, many branches, which we're now speaking about in this chapter. And in this chapter, it's explaining all these elevated devotees. Just see how elevated they are. This movement's so elevated we can't understand. Lord Chaitanya came, and, you know, we've got to the fifth one? And, you know, one wrote the Chaitanya Charita, one of his sons. Shivananda Sen is a very close devotee of the Lord. Kavi Karnapo, one of his sons. And what was the other one? Ram Das. And, you know, two of them, they were parrots in the spiritual world. And so we can see that this is not an ordinary movement. And then it goes on and on, it's explaining all these different branches. And guess who one of them branches is? Guess what one of those branches are? It's gone. So we don't know who we're sitting at the side of, do we? You know, there might be some very elevated personalities. Well, there are elevated personalities in this room. But not just how elevated they are. So we have to be careful. In Bengal, they use that term, don't they? You don't know who I am when there's an argument. Are you from Bengal, Marge? Is that what they do? They use that argument when somebody gets really heated. You don't know who I am. You know, be careful who you're speaking to. You might be speaking to a gopi, you don't know. Anyway, I think a lot of it's bluffing, but, you know. ISKCON. So I was going to talk a little bit about ISKCON. And one thing is, Prabhupada's mood. That's the things we're talking about here. You know, one of Advaita Acharya's... not Advaita Acharya, I'm talking about. We're talking about the Prabhupada, understanding Prabhupada's mood. And what was this? We had an example before that. What was that now? It slipped. That's like Ramachandra and Ishwarapuri. Madhavendra Puri, Ramachandra Puri, and Ishvarapuri. If we get the mood, we've got everything. That's how important. If we haven't got the mood, we can do everything externally, but we haven't got anything. We've got something, but it's not really what we really need. So I said, can this happen to this movement, do you think? You know, we can be doing so many things which externally seem very important, but maybe the mood's not there. And so this GBC, about 5 years ago, they asked Ravindra Sarup, because he's a real scholar, you know. When you read his books, you can see that he's gone really deep into anything he writes about. And so they commissioned Ravindra Sarup to, you know, try and find Prabhupada's real position, you know, so that we've got something solid. Because at that time also, and, you know, even now, we see that devotees very easily get diverted from ISKCON if they're not so firmly fixed in the philosophy and understanding. And that's because we don't understand Prabhupada's mood most of the time. We go somewhere else. We've completely missed Prabhupada's mood. It's quite straightforward what Prabhupada's mood is. I can ask anyone in here and they'll all give Prabhupada's mood. But when it comes to under pressure and we get to hear things from different sources, that means we're not so fixed in the philosophy. Even if we've been around for a long, long time, you know, and we're seen as being an elevated devotee, if we start, you know, minimizing Prabhupada and we start going somewhere else, we've completely missed Prabhupada's mood. So I'm just getting everybody ready for why I'm speaking. I'm going to speak about Prabhupada's mood. So he commissioned a book. It took 6 years to write. Prabhupada's Position, they call it. It's just a thin book. And about 2 years ago, it came out for the leaders to read, and then just after is it available to everybody now? Yeah? Who said that? Yeah. It's available to everybody now. And it's quite a comprehensive book to say it's only this thick. And this point about Prabhupada starting a movement, this is the beginning. That Prabhupada, he got the name, he wanted to be called the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And there was two reasons, main reasons why. Because founder acharya is something special. Acharya is something special, but founder acharya is much more special. And now we're going to emphasize just how much more special it is. The Gaudiya Math did not follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions forming a GBC. And so Prabhupada said they became asat. They became useless, no matter what they did. The second reason was that two mats were formed, called the Gaudiya Mat in Calcutta and the Chaitanya Mat in Mayapur. And that was the two arguments between these two mats. But one's the origin of the other. So Prabhupada saw the need to, from this Chaitanya Mat, there's a previous name to that. It's called the Sri Vaishnav Vishvashabha. Yeah, I think that's right. Vaishnav Rajshabha. And so actually ISKCON is a derivative of this name. When Prabhupada, you know, he said, well, he sort of, in Prabhupada Lilamrita, by Satsarup Maharaj, he said, I know, we'll call this movement ISKCON. And he started chuckling, and, you know, the devotees also laughed with him. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And it was just as if Prabhupada made it up. But actually, this is very, word for word, this is related to this original name for the Gaudiya Math. Vishva Raja Shabha. Vaishnav Vishva Raja Shabha. It means the same. I'll not go through the exact translation, but Raja means king, king of all Vaishnavs. And the king of all Vaishnavs is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. So that's his con. Vishva means the universe. Prabhupada said the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. and the association of devotees, ISKCON association. So little by little we're seeing how Prabhupada didn't speculate at any moment. And so when Prabhupada was in New York in 1966, he'd been there for a year, or just under a year, and he said, "Okay, Mr. Goldstein," it was a meeting in 26 Second Avenue, you know, every Wednesday, well, it's 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays. They used to have a meeting, or classes. Prabhupada used to give classes to the new devotees who were coming. And at the end of the class, he said, "Okay, Mr. Goldstein, you can do your work now." And he said, "I can do it, yes, take the names." And everybody looked around, what's going on? And then Prabhupada said, "James Green, so-and-so, so-and-so, you can be the trustees for the first year. Then so-and-so, so-and-so, you can be the trustees for the second year. So-and-so, 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 you can be the trustees for the third year." And they're all looking at one another, trustees of what? And you know, someone have been coming for a few times, 4 or 5 times. But Prabhupada, he was thinking way in the future. He thought, "I have to form a new movement, more or less. I have to form, I have to register this movement in America so that we get tax relief." This was one reason that Prabhupada gave. But the main reason he didn't really reveal. And so this young Jewish lawyer, he went round, everybody got their names, and so the movement was set up. This was the first milestone in the formation of this movement. It was an official religious movement, and this was the main milestone, actually. Then, what was the next one? Yes. There was four main things Prabhupada had to overcome in developing this movement. The next one was he had to develop an ultimate managerial authority for the for ISKCON, you know, to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master, who wanted that. He wanted to make sure that ISKCON didn't suffer the same fate as the Gaudiya Math. So that's the next thing that he established. And then and the next obstacle would be that there would be many gurus initiating in ISKCON. And this has to be sort of all tied together. So although there are many devotees who are taking disciples, that they all agree on a common basis. And this is where, you know, the GBC comes in, that they all actually surrender to the GBC. Otherwise that can cause havoc. Imagine, so many different spiritual masters, so many different, you know, following Prabhupada's mood but in a different way, different psychology from different parts of the world. And then the zonal acharya system came in. And initially it was great because, you know, you've got one leader, and when you've got one person who's very charismatic and powerful, then devotees tend to follow. And they're achieving a lot, so many things. But there's one thing I noticed when I joined the movement, there was like their camp and our camp, there was that sort of mood there. And so the GBC wasn't together and there was arguing. So this is another thing that had to be overcome. So the zonal acharya system, eventually, it failed. It started to peter out and became more general management of their movement instead of specific for a particular zone. And the last one... that's it, actually. And so, very early in this movement... Prabhupada noticed that there was something not quite right, and this came to head when Brahmananda, he was in Boston. He presented one new book which was out of the press. I think it was a Krishna book actually, and he presented it to Prabhupada. And as soon as he presented it to him, Prabhupada picked it, and all the book fell apart in his hands. All the pages fell out. The binding completely split. And then Prabhupada looked at the front cover, and it had something like Swami Prabhupada ISKCON, something like that. That was the title he'd got. And he'd been noticing this on the letterheads that they'd been printing and on the books and so many things. And he'd already directed everybody that they should use his full title, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And Sasaruma Maharaj, he couldn't, he thought, why does he want such a position, such a name? He's such a humble soul. But he didn't understand Prabhupada's mood properly. And then later on, of course, he understood why he wanted to be termed like that. And Prabhupada insisted, when this happened, Prabhupada insisted from that time, on all letterheads, written work to do with the movement, that is, on the top of it, the letterhead had its full title. So that was the second, that was another thing that Prabhupada wanted to establish. And so this comes to another point here, that there are four sampradayas. Is everybody following okay? Yeah? There are four sampradayas. I'll just read about them because I can't remember all the details. I'm not very shrewd. First sampradaya is the Rudra sampradaya. This is in chronological order, the one that first came into existence, not the philosophical chronological order. So the Rudra sampradaya is from Lord Shiva. And there's an Acharya for the Iron Age. What age is this? Iron Age. This is the age of Kali. So when the Kali Yuga comes in, you know, as many adjustments has to be made. You have to print books. It's like horsework just to start preaching this philosophy. So in the Iron Age, an Acharya, particularly for that Sampradaya, started to adjust things and adjust the preaching in such a way that it would be accepted in this age of Kali, and people would be able to follow that particular sampradaya. And so the Iron Age Acharya for the Vishnu is Vishnu Swami for the Rudra Sampradaya is Vishnu Swami, and he taught exclusive dependence on Krishna and the path of Raga Bhakti, the high esteem of the gopis' love for Krishna. So that's, he gave quite a high level of understanding of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And then later, of course, the Kumara Sampradaya, sorry. And the Kumara Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya. And then in this age of Kali, who is the Acharya? In Nimbarka, in Mayapur, it's easy because they've got the Gaudiya Math temple there and they've got all the four Acharyas around it. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did that for a purpose, actually. Nimbarka Acharya. And he explained that the necessity for taking shelter of Radharani. So this is even more elevated than the previous one. And then, of course, came the Sri Sampradaya, and the Acharya in this Iron Age is Ramanuja Acharya, and the philosophy that he expounded was bhakti unpolluted by karma and jnana and service to the devotees. And then finally we have Brahmadava Gaudiya Sampradaya, or it was called the Brahma Sampradaya originally. And then the Acharya in this age is Madhava. And Madhava taught, he was there to teach dualism over Mayavad philosophy and establish worship of the deity. So actually that's the most basic one. But, you know, from that time on, they've never changed. Everybody follows, if there's still anybody left following the Rudra Sampradaya, they follow Vishnu Swami. In the Kumara Sampradaya, they follow Nimbarka. I was in Manchester about 20 years ago, and there was a Hindu temple just down the road from the Hare Krishna temple. And, you know, in those temples, they run by the congregation. Usually it's a businessman. And they send for devotees from India to come and look after the temple, do the pujari work. And one of them, he was actually a Nimbarka, in the Nimbarka line. He was a very nice devotee, actually. What were we talking about now? You were talking about... I got diverted there. This is... it's very easy to get diverted. All right. So everybody follows Ramanuja, who's left in that Ramanuja line. And if you go to Adupi, everybody follows Madhavacharya. You know, it's like, that's the way it is, and there's nothing can change it. He's the actual founder, Acharya, of our movement. And so Prabhupada did the same thing. He didn't overrule Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but there was a split in our line. There was a deviation from what Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wanted his disciples to do. And Prabhupada followed it, and he didn't want that deviation to creep back into ISKCON, which it could have done, because they were all his god brothers. So he established himself as the founder, Acharya, of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And that saved us from being, or the possibility that we might be infiltrated again by the Gaudiya Mat. So Prabhupada was very intelligent. So that's the situation at the moment. We're talking about Prabhupada's mood, is that right? Oh, just some more points. There is, and Prabhupada, he took the name Prabhupada. He was called Swamiji. And once Govinda Dasi, she was serving him in the early days, and said, "Is there any other name we can call you, Swamiji?" Oh, Swamiji, he said, he was talking about something else, and he said, this Swamiji is a third class name. And Govinda Dasi was thinking, "Oh, Swamiji, if it's a third class name, why are we calling you Swamiji? Is there any better names we could call you?" And he said, "Yeah, you can call us, what was the name? Gurudev, I think that was one of them, wasn't it? Vishnupad, or Prabhupada." And he says, "Which one's best?" And he said, "Well, Prabhupada's the best. Well, we'll call you Prabhupada." And Prabhupada humbly accepted. But when his godbrothers got to know, they used to call Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur his spiritual master, Prabhupada. So they saw this as a big offence. this is how Prabhupada, he got the name Prabhupada. Same as his spiritual master. It wasn't because he wanted to usurp and start his own movement and just, alienating himself from all his previous acharyas. Actually, this is the proper Gaudiya Mat in many respects. This is a Vishva Vaishnav Raja Sabha. It's the other that's actually gone skew with. And so I was talking about this mood because that's the point. We got it. It's gone again. that's it, yeah. Part of the Prabhupada was initiated by Keshava Maharaj. He was a member of the Gaudiya Mat, senior member. He was a very powerful sannyasi, very powerful preacher. And he more or less got... There's in a class of businessmen in India called the Mawari businessmen. They're very expert. They can make business in any situation. And they're very rich. And all the businessmen in the Maori community were under his control. That's how powerful Keshava Maharaj was. And so Prabhupada, when he'd found the movement, he wanted to start a temple in New York. He thought, without a temple, you know, we're not really going to get very far. And so he wrote to Keshava Maharaj, and he says, you've got all these businessmen under your thumb. You know, this is a chance for us to unite. You can use your power in getting them to donate. And, you know, you can also become part of this movement. It's not that I'm separate from you. But he didn't get a reply. He wanted to include the Gaudiya Math again, the leaders. Then later, when the movement was established, properly established, he wrote again to Keshava Maharaj. And this time he wrote, he said, you and my senior grub brothers like Sridhar Swami, and he mentioned a few names, he said, but you can become the president of this movement and I'll follow you. That's what Prabhupada wrote. So there's no way Prabhupada founded this movement except for the benefit of following the instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And this is the mood of a leader, actually. A leader doesn't want to do it himself. He wants to do it for the benefit of the movement and for the benefit of serving Lord Krishna. A leader doesn't want to what? He doesn't want to get in the way. As soon as we want something for ourselves, what happens? We get in the way. And so Prabhupada, I'm just emphasizing Prabhupada's mood in this respect. This is another thing we can take on board. But what's Prabhupada's real mood? His real mood was to preach. Before we go on to the next topic, what's the benefit that we've got from Prabhupada doing all this? So I've wrote a few things down here. Towards the end of this book, Prabhupada, founder Acharya, Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples when he was just about to leave his body, it was just a few weeks away, and one of Prabhupada's disciples said, Prabhupada, says, you can have my youth, and I'll take your old age. And he meant it. And Prabhupada started to laugh. He said, I appreciate your sentiments, he says, but it's not possible. And Prabhupada said, better that, you know, I keep my body, you keep yours. But you follow my mood very sincerely. And how to follow my mood, this is where that famous saying came in, by your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to push on this movement. So this is emphasised in that book, cooperation. So another point that was made is that Prabhupada is ISKCON the body of Prabhupada? Hands up. Who thinks ISKCON is the body of Prabhupada? No, anybody else? Yeah, it says, it was mentioning that ISKCON is my body, and when the body is spiritual, there's no difference between the body and the person. He says, so anybody who is following in ISKCON my instructions, they're actually always connected with me. That was another point that Prabhupada made. So we come on to the last part about this book. He said, the future will now be, if we establish ISKCON, now ISKCON's established this way, is that, and we follow properly, generation after generation can receive Prabhupada's mercy. Because we link to Prabhupada. Taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada as Shiksha Guru in his Vani form. Everybody will be able to take shelter of Prabhupada in his Vani form. Srila Prabhupada's active presence will ensure unity and integrity within the movement. He means by Vani, by his instructions. Realized knowledge given by Srila Prabhupada will be understood and developed by individuals who follow. In other words, these books by Prabhupada there is personal realizations and that of the previous acharyas. And by following these, we can also get added realization. What does it say in the Bhagavatam? Nigama kalpataragalitam phalam. It means that, you know, this fruit of devotional service is passed down from the highest branch down to the next very carefully. And by the time it gets to the bottom, it's actually still complete. But what happens to the fruit? He says that it becomes even more sweet. What does that more sweetness mean? I've been thinking about that. Has anybody got any explanations? Hey? Yeah. I wonder how many devotees in here that eat a mango which has been picked by a parrot. Would anybody be? I think we'd be a little bit, whoa, wait a minute. It means that it's made available for more and more people. Has anybody noticed that the preaching we were doing like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, somehow it's not working the same, is it? You know, we have to adjust it so that, you know, it's actually relishable by people of this age. So, in other words, it becomes more relishable for more people. Number five, Srila Prabhupada's books will be central and remain so, giving insight direction which will expand in the future. Srila Prabhupada's eyes will be the lens through which we see the previous acharyas. So this is the benefit of this movement. And Prabhupada also said in this book, he wanted to see that, you know, many spiritual masters serving in this movement under the GBC and cooperating to push on this movement. So this is the need for we need to have that vision. You know, in order to be successful in anything, there has to be a common understanding, a common vision. And ISKCON is that common understanding. Prabhupada is that common understanding. Anyway, so what's this got to do with this? Is that we're talking about the Chaitanya tree, the branches. ISKCON's also part of those branches. And we saw that even Advaita Acharya in the early days, you know, most of his sons, they just actually completely went off track. So it's always possible. So if we want to become, if we want to see more and more branches and more twigs in the future coming from this tree, then we have to be very careful that we follow Prabhupada very nicely and understand why we're following Prabhupada. And we can defeat other arguments why we're following Prabhupada. Anyway, it's 25 to now. What time are we supposed to finish? 9:15. Okay. I'll just get the computer out a little bit then for a few minutes. This is how we can practice a little bit of how we can practically put this into practice in our everyday lives. It's called Vaishnav Sadachar. Usually when we mention Vaishnav Sadachar, it's like not a very relishable subject matter. Fuck, not again. Vaishnav etiquette. But it's much deeper than that. It's not just like ourselves and the good habits that we develop. It's without Vaishnav Sadachar, we don't have a movement. Prabhupada was on an aeroplane journey from, I think it was Kenya to South Africa. And, you know, the South Africans had won the football match in Kenya. And they were on the plane back and they were all sat behind Prabhupada, having a rip-roaring time. And so Prabhupada's servant, he became a little disturbed that Prabhupada, he was disturbed by it. So he went to the hairdresser and said, "Can you tell this lot to shut up? You know, to be quiet." And so she went and, you know, they quieted down for some time. And then, of course, you know, after some time, the volume came back. And so he was just going to get up and tell the hairdresser again, Prabhupada's servant. And Prabhupada said, "Stop, where are you going?" He said, "I want to ask if this lot behind us can be, you know, made quiet." And he said, I said, "No, sit down." He said, "What's the, if we act like an ordinary person?" He said, "What's the difference between us and them?" In other words, he was telling him to tolerate the situation. So we'll just get the. Here we are. So time, place and circumstance. How to apply Vaishnava etiquette or Vaishnava sadhacharya to time, place and circumstance. This is what I'm going to speak a little bit about. Prabhupada made four main headings it can go under. One is, we have to take into account the sentiment of the people of that particular time. Right? In other words, we don't hurt their feelings. Very difficult. You know, for a young devotee, we've got to keep the Vaishnava Sadhacharya Prabhu. We've got to keep that together. But at the same time, we have, we know that people, they don't understand what we're doing. They don't understand why we dress like this, why we act like this, why we speak like this. And at the same time, we've got to make it available for that person. Prabhupada once at Tittenhurst, that was John Lennon's abode. And the devotees went there very early in the movement when they first came to England. And Prabhupada, when he arrived, they took him to Titmuss to stay. And when he went into the grounds, he met this old gardener, he started speaking to him, and every time he went for a walk in the garden, he was speaking to this gardener. And he was speaking about the shrubs and the trees and things like that. And he also said, "How old are you?" to the gardener. He said, "I'm 75 or something." Prabhupada said, "Oh, I'm 70. Prabhupada said, "Oh, I'm older than you." He says, "Have you got all your teeth?" And the gardener said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "I've been eating too many sweets." And Prabhupada said, "You're eating the wrong sweets, that's why." He says, "I've got all my teeth and I'm older than you." So, in other words, he weren't hurting his feet. He was dealing on the same level as this person. This is the key to actually preaching, isn't it? That people can relate to us. You're normal. We're normal people, even though we may dress differently. So we have to be careful that, we don't hurt people's feelings. Just by being too staunch Vaishnav sadhacharas. Like, you're doing your Gayatri and somebody asks you a question. So he's not a devotee. What do you do? What would you do?
Stop the Gayatri
and answer him. Prabhupada even says, if we get a guest to the temple and we're worshipping the deity, put the chamra down and go and let him in. He's a guest. Packaging the message differently while maintaining the spirit of parampara. So Prabhupada writes a little letter here. It is important that we preach the message of Krishna consciousness exactly as we have heard it from the spiritual master. But there are changes due to time, circumstances and trainees. The spirit of the disciplic succession may not be changed, but there may be adjustment to suit the special circumstances. And Prabhupada, letter to Rupanuga. Sorry, that's not the right one. Letter to Karandar. We should tax our brains as to what is the best way to present Krishna consciousness to particular people at a particular time and place. When Prabhupada first came, he wrote to Rupanuga, the students are taught by the spiritual master or the teacher, and the students themselves go from door to door for begging alms, and because everyone's son is in the ashram, nobody declines to give alms. So this was the previous, even in the Vedic age, they were like
motivation for doing something. You know, if your son's in the ashram, you're going to give a donation to the ashram, aren't you? So this was a system. But Prabhupada said that, and because everyone's son is in the ashram, nobody declines to give alms. So there is no financial difficulty at all. But I do not know what to do in your country. There are so many laws. We have to adjust things to the circumstances. Then the Prabhupada mentions the point that actually, I can't find it now, but I remember the essence. Prabhupada writing to Brahmananda, and they were having a meeting between Tamil Krishna, you know, all the leaders were meeting regularly, they'd started to meet. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is very nice what you're doing. I'm very happy that you're trying to cooperate upon this. He says, but you should be very careful how you deal with one another. He says, you're coming from a situation where everybody wants, you know, is trained in a different way. And therefore, we have to be very, very kind to one another in our dealings as leaders. We're very, very aware of the other person's personality and mentality. So this is not very often talked about. Purity and not the packaging is our core preaching strategy. So I'll read the whole chapter on this one, the whole paragraph on this. Please accept my blessings. I beg to acknowledge your letter of 17th of December 1971, along with copies of your advertising work. So Prabhupada here is, there's one person in Holland, he's put some advertising about the Hare Krishnas on the television. Or is it the television? Anyway, in some media form. And Prabhupada says, this is very nice, you're using your intelligence. He says, but actually, you've lost the spirit of what we're trying to do. It's actually defamed. It's not defamed, the movement, but people won't take us so seriously. Better you devote your full time to one thing only, not many things. That way, your enthusiasm and talents will have a big effect by being concentrated. Our progress is to show Krishna consciousness as it is, not as others want to see it. It is not that we should change change to accommodate the public, but that we should change the public to accommodate us. What does Prabhupada mean by that? He seems to be exactly the opposite of what we've just been saying. What Prabhupada is saying is that we may change so many things superficially to accommodate the public, but the message of Krishna consciousness is never changed. We may give it in certain amounts, but we never actually interfere with that. And we never interfere with our own principles. okay, so we've got to the... Prabhupada, when he came to Los Angeles, when he first opened the temple there in... it was a church, a big church, and Prabhupada came to see it. And after he'd had a look round, he said, don't change anything. Leave the pews in, leave the pulpit in. You know, people can wear the shoes when they come in. He says, I want people to come and listen to Krishna consciousness and be comfortable. This is what they're used to. And what did they do? They took everything out and everybody to sit on the floor, like they did in India. And so, actually, there may be a reason that we actually developed a movement which was to a particular class of people. So Prabhupada didn't want that. Okay, so we've got to the end of that. So once again, we'll just recap what we've been talking about. We were talking about the trunk and the branches of the Chaitanya, a trunk and the branches of the tree are all Lord Chaitanya and all his movement. We were talking about the branches and how some of the branches became, you know, detached from the tree and they lost all the potency, both previously and even just recently, before Prabhupada came to the West. And why Prabhupada formed the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, how he was not attached, he did it for the benefit of the movement, how actually we're still... we're still the bona fide movement from Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya. even though Prabhupada had to form ISKCON and put himself as the founder of Charya to safeguard the movement. So Prabhupada, that's how Prabhupada will build the founder of Charya for the next 10,000 years. Well, his books will be there for the next 10,000 years, so I'm assuming he'll be the founder of Charya for the next 10,000 years. And, you know, your love for me will be shown how you cooperate by keeping Prabhupada in the centre, keeping that vision there. And we have to use our, you know, Vaishnav Sadachar means learning how to deal in every situation in order to increase the branches of this tree so that everybody can take the benefit of this Krishna conscious movement. The mood of this society is to give Krishna consciousness. You know, sometimes I read on the internet, Aikarishis come in, and I'm not knocking this, but I'm just thinking, is it actually developing the proper mood? You know, and they'll, you know, it's, they put an email, it's like pages long with all the things that you can't eat. You know, Prabhupada, he put two things on, grains and beans. You know, it's not complicated. You know, you just make sure you don't eat any grains and beans on the day, and you get on with what's got to be done. But, you know, we start adding this and adding that, you know, anything that grows under the ground, anything that, you know, seeds and this and that, and you go, oh, you say, God, you know, you're fearful of Ekadashi coming. Best I just fast completely. And then, you know, we try to go out on Sangatan without any prasadam. You know, the whole mood is to you know, go out on Sangatan. So, you know, we have to be careful. And one sannyasi wrote, and he says, no, look, these things are optional. That's my understanding. It's okay for time. I mean, it's okay if you're in a certain part of the world and that's a lifestyle. And it's okay for, you know, years and years ago when it was a lifestyle. But things have changed. And we have to actually change with the time and keep Prabhupada's mood in the forefront. Okay, we can stop there.